All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Ooh, that's loud. Good morning, good morning. Is it too loud? Good? Good. Okay, perfect. Good. Excellent. All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Good morning. Good tevach. A good chodesh. Begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning's shir. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Iyar, Haba Alein Latova, Stephen Terry Zinn, in honor of their newest grandson, Matan Shmuel Aaron, Shabizocha Meretz Hashem to grow to an incredible and accomplished Ben Torah, Ameh Ve'esim Shanim Tovos. But with that, let us begin. Today's daf is Chof Hei 25, and we have the great Zuchos. To Meretz to begin, so we'll say a really, really great daf, fascinating daf. Triado Sota, every day is Mamish in Matana. So we'll say three lines down from the top, Chof Hei Amadal of 25A, Bailuhu. So we'll say some really interesting cases today. Say, Bailu, Overes al Das. If a woman is Overes, if she's in violation of Das, we'll say, remember again, hearkening back to our, good word, note to start the week, hearkening, thank you. Thank you. A little positive reinforcement from the Olam would be very helpful every once in a while. And I'll say, so again, remember back to our Ksuvis days, we had the concept of Das Moshe and Das Yehudis. This concept that ultimately, again, if a woman is in violation of certain Judaic norms. Now again, so let's say a woman is Overes al Da'as. Again, Udas, not Da'as, Das. So we'll talk about, we'll see Rashi in just a moment. So he says, Tzricha Hasra Lafsidik Suvas Olin Tzricha. So we'll say, does she require a warning in order to be deprived of her Ksuva, or does her behavior automatically deprive her of her Ksuva? Fascinating Shaila. Jose, take a look at Rashi. Overes al Das. Rashi is three lines down from the top. Das Yehudis. See, Rashi says we're talking about Das Yehudis. Now, remember again, there's Das Yehudis and there's Das Moshe. Das Moshe is halacha. It's halacha. Remember again, the example of Das Moshe was a woman gives her husband untithed food. So obviously, again, that type of behavior is causing him to go ahead and be in violation of halacha. Das Yehudis really refers more, at least in this context, to standards of modesty. Standards of modesty. So look at Rashi. Das Yehudis Shehinot Tsnua. Let's see what happens if the wife is immodest. Now, what are the examples of immodesty? Yotza Verosh Shepurua. She goes out with her hair uncovered. Vitava Bashuk. Tava Bashuk means she weaves in the marketplace. Now, you have to understand what's interesting about Das Yehudis is Das Yehudis often is reflective of whatever the contemporary norms are, right? So Rashi's giving examples what's considered to be a lack of tznius. So again, Rashi's reflecting a societal norm as well. A woman goes out with her hair uncovered. What's weaving? So let's remember again, when a woman would be weaving, she'd be sitting like on a bench with one leg on each side of the bench. So sitting that way in a public setting would have been considered to be immodest. Midaberes im kol adam, or she speaks with every man. Obviously, every man doesn't meet with every man, but she speaks with men. She speaks with men. A lot of men. Darm b'ksuvas parakamadir diyotze shlo b'ksuva. Now, I will say. So remember again, the Gemara Maseches Ksuva said that if a woman goes ahead and is in violation of das yehudis, obviously we're talking about in violation on a consistent basis. That is grounds for forfeiture of her ksuva. So we'll say now the Gemara is asking a very specific shaila. Fascinating. Does a woman require hasra? Does there have to be a warning before the forfeiture of her ksuva or not for being in violation of das yehudis? Now Rashi says over here, tzicha hasra, shema tachzar. Now what's the chav? Why would we give hasra? See, Rabbi said, what's the rule of hasra? What's the rule of hasra? Sometimes a person is doing something that is wrong in what? And what? They don't know. They don't know that it's wrong. So the role of hasra is to tell a person, by the way, you know that what you're doing is incorrect, so there are one of two possibilities that happen after hasra. Possibility one, person says, okay, I had no idea. Thank you so much for telling me. Now I'm going to change my ways. Possibility two is, I don't care, I'm doing it anyway. So I would say, so the role of hasra, Rashi says, Shema tachzar, maybe she'll do tshuva. Vim tachzar lo tafsik suvasa. And if she does tshuva, she shouldn't lose her ksuva. Oh, ain't a tzvicha hasra, Tebalav hasra mafsida. So we'll say, so that's the shayla. So let's go with the fact. What's the fact? The fact is that when a woman is overes, al das yehudis, she's in violation of modesty norms. What's the halacha? She forfeits her ksuva. What's the shayla? Does she require hasra before the forfeiture or not? That's the shayla. So let's analyze. Tush the Gemara says, Miyar Miran, Kevin Dovaris Adas, he Lobaya Hasra. Do we say that, look, once you're in violation of Das Yisrael, right? You will say, by the way, it also includes Das Moshe, but it's even Das Yisrael. That's the point. Once she's in violation of Das Yehudis, she doesn't require Hasra. Oh, Dilma, Tiboya Hasra. No, maybe she should require Hasra. Why? Tiboya Hadraba, Tihadraba. Give her the opportunity to correct her ways. Maybe in her zuos, like, you know, one thing I think we come to learn in life as we get older is something that may be obvious and apparent to you. Like when we're young, we kind of think that everyone operates based on the same set of facts or the same sensitivities or the same knowledge. And as we get older, we recognize something that may be obvious to you, someone else may be totally clueless about. So that's the svara to say she should need hasra. In other words, maybe there's not any kind of negative intent over here. Maybe there's just someone who really just doesn't understand certain modesty norms. So give her the opportunity to go ahead and turn it around. So that's the shaila. Does she require hasra or not? So tashma, let's analyze this. I will say, it's actually the Gemara trust of being arrived from our Mishnah. So arusa v'shomeres yavim, lo shosos v'lo not lo ksuva. I will say, remember again, the Mishnah spoke about the idea that narusa, right? In the shomeres yavim, remember again, narusa, a woman in Erisin has not yet done Nisuin. Shomeres Yavam, a woman who is waiting for her brother-in-law to do Yibam. What's the halacha? Lo Shosos, these women cannot be made to drink. What does Rebbe say? So, just to play this out. So, Ruvain did Erisin with Rachel, right? He told Rachel not to be alone with Shimon. Rachel's in violation of the warning. Ruvain cannot make her drink. Cannot make her drink. And therefore, again, for lo not los ksuva. They also do not get a ksuva. Right? So the Gemara said, Mishtahu de lo shasya. Now I will say, well, here's what's interesting is Ruvain, in the case of, I'm just using Iris in this, right? Ruvain can't make her drink. Hakinuye matnila. So I will say, what is interesting is, as much as she can't be made to drink, what can he do? He can administer a warning. Interesting. He can administer a warning in Erisin. So the Gemara says, now here's the Shaila. If you can't make her drink, then what? Then what? What's the point of the warning? In other words, let's say, well, here's what's interesting, right? The way the Mishnah is phrased is that halacha lemaisa in erusin, an arusa doesn't drink the sota waters. So the fact that it says she doesn't drink tells us that he can administer a warning. Well, if a warning isn't going to lead to drinking, if kinui is not going to lead to shtia, to drinking, then what's the point of the warning? To which the Gemara says, Lamai, lav, lav, sida, ksuvasa. Oh, it must be what? It must be to make her lose the ksuva. In other words, that it must be that the power of administering a warning during Erisin is like this. Ruvain did Erisin to Rachel, so you can imagine again. So he gives her an item of value. Hariak mekudesh asli, betaba zukides moshe viso. He gives her a ring, he gives her a prut, whatever he gives her. Now she's in Arusa. Not Nisuin, they're not living together. She's in Arusa. He warns her. She violates the warning. Can't cause her to drink. I must remember again, a technical reason. Remember, for me, it is daf. Why can't she drink? Because tachas is sheikh. Remember again, the sota waters can only be drunk once a woman has lived with her husband. They're in Erisin. They haven't lived together yet. So what does the warning do? What the warning does do is, in the event that she violates it, she loses her ksuva. Shuzer ksuva. Nabosai. Now, what does that show you? What does that show you? That ultimate Nabosai, that shows you that what? Prior to forfeiting a ksuva, a woman always requires hasra. Because essentially, the kinui, the warning, right? The warning is a hasra. Right? That's what it's saying. In other words, I'm warning you not to do this. And if you do this, there'll be consequences. So too over here, we'd have to say same thing if a woman is overes al das yehudis. If she's in violation of certain modesty norms, it would appear that she requires hasra prior to forfeiting her ksuva as well. I'm Rabbaye. Rabbaye says, no, lo li asra alav. Not necessarily. The power of kinui by erisin is that if she violates it, she becomes prohibited to her aros. In other words, it's true. Rachel can't drink because she's only in erisin, but if she violates the warning, she becomes prohibited to her aros. Rav Papa says the parole of the role of a kinui during erisin is lashkosa kishahin suah. I will say this is fascinating. While it's true that you can't administer drinking of water of sota waters during erisin, but a warning during Erisin could result in drinking during Nisuin. By the way, that's an absolutely true fact in general. Even though if there's already warning going on during Erisin, there's going to be a lot of drinking going on during Nisuin. In other words, this is not a good shidduch. This is not a good shidduch. But okay, that's a different discussion. Anyway, the Rosh said, so the Maisa, what's interesting to note about this is as follows. So as much as a warning during Erisin cannot trigger an obligation to drink during Erisin, a warning during Erisin could absolutely trigger an obligation to drink during Nisuin. During Nisuin. In other words, the Havamina would have been that the only way to drink during Nisuin is how? With a warning during Nisuin. Kamash Malon, a warning during Erisin ultimately could be triggered and activated during Nisuin as well. Kidisanyo, as we learned, Ein mekanin la arusa lashko sekishi arusa. You can't warn an arusa to make her drink while she's in arusa. Aval mekanin la arusa lashko sekishi nesua. Now let's say what you can do is you can administer a warning during erusin that ultimately results in drinking during nisuin. So we're going to talk about that case a bit more. But that is absolutely a fascinating idea. So therefore, I will say, but remember, let's keep track of our question. What's our question? Our question is, if a woman, here's what we know, a woman who is a veres al das yehudis, what's the halacha? She loses her ksuba. That's the halacha. Like that we know. What's the shayla? Does she require hasra before that forfeiture or not? That's the shayla. So I will say, so we just tried to prove it from our Mishnah, didn't work. So let's move on. We're still focused on that question. Good. Amarava Tashma, let's analyze. So Tashma, but I will say, but again, what's beautiful in general about Gemara is in the process of trying to answer one question, we kind of acquire a number of other pieces of information along the way. So for example, we learned before that halacha lemaisa, a man could administer a warning to his wife during Erisin. What's the impact of that warning? So also the impact of that warning is he can't make a woman drink during Erisin, as we saw in yesterday's daf, but what you can do is with a warning during Erisin could cause drinking during Nisuin. So if she's in violation of the warning, let's say during Nisuin, that could trigger obligation to drink, even though the warning was actually delivered during Erisin. Incredible. Back to our normal shayla over here, our previous shayla. Amar Rava, Tashma, let's analyze. I'm one of the coin gold, the Gush Chalutz, the coin headyot, Mamzeres Unasin Yisrael. So we'll say, remember again, quoting the Mishnah said that an almana was married to a coin god, right? Illegal marriage. Grusha v'chalutz la coin edjot, or divorce yira chalutz to regular coin. Also illegal marriage. Mamzeres Unasin Yisrael. Also illegal marriages. Bas Yisrael Mamzer Unasin. Right, a Bas Yisrael marries a Mamzer Unasin. We'll say all examples of illegal marriages. First wide line. What's the halacha? Lo shosos v'lo notlos ksuva. We'll say in all of these cases, whenever there is an illegal marriage can never trigger an obligation to drink. Right? So in all of these cases, I will say, there's no obligation to drink velo notlos ksuva. But remember, these women do not get a ksuva, right? Because it's an illegal marriage, they don't get a ksuva. Now watch this. So the Gemara says, Mishta hudaloshasya. Now I will say, she doesn't drink, right? She doesn't drink of the waters. Ha kinuye maknila. But I will say you could still go ahead and administer a warning, right? In other words, we'll say what the Gemara is picking up on is in these examples of illegal marriages, what the Mishnah is saying is they don't drink. So drinking is a result. The Mishnah is inferring is they can't be made to drink the meisota, but it sounds like what? You could administer kinui. You can administer a warning. Now I will say, why? Now, what was Sibo saying? In our entire conception of ksuva over the last 24 days, a warning is not an ends, right? A warning is a means. A means for what? Drinking, right? That's the goal, but that's the result of the mechanism of warning. So the Gemara is saying, if you have a situation where you know you can't administer the drinking, but yet I can administer a warning, what role does warning play if it can't result in drinking? Well, am I? Ila osra alav. If you're going to tell me that ultimately the warning will prohibit the woman upon her husband, well, you don't need to worry about that in that case. Why? Hasir, in this case, Hasir and Mekayim. I will say, in this example, all of these women are already prohibited to their husband, right? These are already illegal marriages. Rather, it must be that what? It must be that the role of the warning ultimately is to deprive the woman of her ksuva in this case. That's what's happening over here. It's to deprive her of a ksuva. And Abba said, what do you see from here? That in order to deprive a woman of a ksuva, what do you need? Hasra. And therefore, again, circling back, therefore, back to our original question, a woman who is overes al das Yehudis, right, ultimately, before depriving her of her ksuva, you have to go ahead and give her asra. To which the Gemara says, Amrav Yehuda me discarta lo, not necessarily, lo osra le boel kibal. Oh, very interesting. Actually, I will say, in this context, where you're dealing with marriages that are already illegal, the role of the warning is actually to go, Rabbi say, and to asser her to the adulterer like her husband. It's fascinating. So Rabbi say, so remember again, in these cases that we're describing where there are already illegal marriages, let's play this out. Aaron, who's a Kohen Gadol, is married to Rachel, who's a Grusha, or an Amana, right? Illegal marriage. So now what happens? Aaron warns Rachel. Rachel is in violation of the warning. Now, we'll say, so remember again, could Aaron administer the Mesota to her? No, why not? Already an illegal marriage, right? Illegal marriage. Shabbos says, so if that's the case, what's the role of the warning? The role of the warning is that if Rachel violates the warning, she becomes Asura to Shimon, the possible adulterer. That's the power of the warning in this context. It asers her ultimately again to her adulterer. Kiddisnan. Kishem Shasur Labal, Kachasur Labal. We'll say, this is actually interesting, we'll talk about this more as well. A lot to talk about. And ultimately, again, the same way that the Sota becomes Asura to her husband, she also becomes Asura to her adulterer. Okay? So Shabbat says, therefore, again, that's the role of the warning, not necessarily Asura. So once again, we still have our original question unanswered. I'm Rabbi Chanin Misura, Tashma. The Elu Shabezim Akana Lahan. So we're going to attempt to answer this question. So remembering it back to our core question. A woman is Overes Aldas Yehudis. She loses her ksuva. Does she require Hasra, warning prior to losing her ksuva or not? Make another attempt to answer it. Here we go. Tashma. What's another quotation from the Mishnah? The Elu Shabezim Akana Lahan. This is really interesting. There are situations, remember as we saw in the Mishnah, where Beis Din will administer a warning on behalf of the husband. Fascinating. What were these cases? Mishan is Kharish Baila, someone whose husband became a deaf mute. Oh, Nishtata, or the husband became insane. I was on yesterday's daf. These are obviously cases where when did the husband go insane, or when did he become a deaf mute? After they got married, right? Because remember, again, a Kharish cannot affect Kiddushin. A shota, right? No marriage jokes over there, right? Right? I just want to say, so the nice again. So Jaim is still a young guy. You know what? Don't taint his view of marriage. So the Maisa, remember, because if the man is a Chirish, or if he's a Shota, ultimately, he can't affect legal marriage. So this is talking about a situation where he was quote-unquote normal, right, at the time of marriage, and then unfortunately, again, suffered this health degradation afterwards. So now, he can't administer the kinui because he lacks capacity. So Lamaisa, again, now Beis Din administers the kinui on his behalf. Incredible. Oh, Shechash Beis Asurin. Or we'll say he was incarcerated. I just want to be clear. He didn't do anything wrong, right? I just want to be clear, right? This is right. Right? It's just so important, right? He didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, somebody else did it. He got involved. Good. He's in jail. So Lamaisa, again, Lamaisa, Beis, he can't do the kinui himself. We'll say, now, obviously, what's interesting, of course, in this context, this is also assuming that he is, when they say, like, Chavosh Beis HaAsurin, so this is like, he is away, right? Because technically speaking, there are ways that a man could go ahead and administer kinui, right? Even if he's not in proximity to his wife. So this has to be, Chavosh Beis HaAsurin literally means that he is isolated. He's isolated, okay? So what's the halacha? V'lo l'ashkosa, amru el l'posla miksuvasa. Now, I will say, here the advice says, and I will say, what's the role? What's the role, ultimately, again, in these cases? Not to cause her to drink, but ultimately, again, to cause her to lose her ksuva. cause loser ksuvin. I both say, now this is an explicit statement, that what's the role, because Rosh, remember again, the problem with these cases, and we'll get into this more, the problem in this case over here is, especially with the husband, is, you know, legally lacks capacity to cause her to drink is not really going to be possible. So ultimately, again, if you can't cause her to drink, so what is the role of the kinui in these cases? Again, to deprive her of the ksuba. The Ef Rabbah say, what do you see from here? Shmamina, boy hasra, shmamina. And I'll say, what do you see from here? The halacha is that in order to deprive woman of her ksuba, we'll say, what does she require? Hasra. Hasra. The Ef Rabbah say, looping this back fully to our previous case, if a woman is overes al dasi ludis, a woman breaches modesty norms, whereas that is grounds for deprivation of her ksuba, it only works if what? If ultimately, again, first, there is a hasra. They will say, I just want to point out. So that is the halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa. They will say, just understand the profundity of the hashkafa l'maisa. Remember, you know, when the Gemara was talking about this, why would we say that a woman requires hasra prior to depriving her of the ksuba? Why should she get hasra? What was the lashon of the Gemara? What was the lashon? Di'i hadraba tihadraba. Tshuva. Tshuva. In other words, say, just because someone's doing something wrong doesn't mean that they're a bad person. People do wrong things for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes it's because they don't know what they're doing is wrong. Sometimes they know what they're doing, but what? I don't know the full ramifications of my actions. Give a person a chance to right the ship, and more often than not, they'll take advantage of it. Rabbi says, isn't that an incredible use? So that's the halacha is teaching us. As long as you give a person the chance to right the ship, and more often than not, they will take advantage of it. The difference is just many of us need to have the error of our ways pointed out to us. Let's say that's the other yisod in this. A lot of times I'm just on a derech, and I'm so caught up in the derech, I don't even know that it's bad. I don't even know that it's wrong. The power of Hashem will say is twofold. Number one, you have someone telling you, by the way, this is not right. This is not the right path to go on. This is not the right derech you're supposed to be going down. So to have someone in life who could tell you this is not the right path, that's number one. And to be given the opportunity to hear that this is not the right path. The Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Halacha, believes in us. That's why Hasra, we'll say in general, by the way, that's why Hasra is necessary. You can't execute someone without Hasra. Generally, you can't punish without Hasra. I will say why. Hasra is the ultimate belief in the goodness of man. What Hasra says is, the system believes in us. And the system believes that we're good. That's why the system is not going to punish without prior warning. Because we know that the majority of times, give a person a warning, the person's going to say, okay, let me right the ship. Incredible. So I'll say, to me, this is such chizik, right? Whoever thought that you can get such chizik from us, right? So we'll say, we often think of hasra as, you got to warn someone before you punish them. No, hasra is, you want to warn someone so that you don't punish them. Because we believe in the inherent good of man. That once he hears that what he's doing is incorrect, of course, I'm going to turn it around. Does it happen all the time? No. But the mice, it happens the majority of the time. So therefore, of course, in this case, woman is overes al dasi ludis, nebach. But Lamais, you can't deprive her of anything without Hasra. Give her Hasra, and ultimately, again, with the Hasra, I will say, comes the confidence in the inherent good of man to turn everything around. Incredible. The Kulumai time of the Arameha. So I will say, by the way, let's just point out this last statement, this last proof, is pretty conclusive, right? Pretty conclusive. Again, I will say, this is an explicit statement that if the husband became a Cheresh, or the husband is a Shota, or the husband is incarcerated, Beis Din could go ahead and administer a warning on his behalf. Now, what's the power of the warning? A warning from Beis Din can't make a woman drink. Right? That's for sure. Only a direct warning from a husband can make a woman drink. So what does the warning do? It causes her to lose her ksuva. So we'll say that's an explicit statement that says a woman can't be deprived of her ksuva unless, of course, she has a warning. So why are we going through all of the steps? Right, and this entire daf of Gemara, why doesn't everyone just point to this proof to which the Gemara says, I'll tell you, Dilma Shaini Hasam, de Lesle Imsa de Baal Klau. We'll say it's possible that these cases are different. Right? These cases are different. Why? In the case of Chirish, when the husband is a Chirish or a Shoter is incarcerated, they will say, what's the common denominator in all of these cases? There's no husband present. There's no husband present. Right? So because there's no husband present, there's no imsa debal, there's no like reverence or fear or just cognition of a husband present, right? There's no husband presence. Maybe she feels much freer to do whatever it is that she wants. That's when there has to be a hasra. But in a regular case, where there's a present husband, perhaps hasra should not be necessary to deprive her of her ksuva. Kamash malon that even when there's a husband present, ultimately, again, you still require hasra. Incredible. To which the Gemara says as follows. So let's say, so that's good. So we've resolved issue number one. Halacha l'maisa, no depriving of a ksuva without a prior hasra. That's halacha l'maisa and tashkafa l'maisa. Ibailo, Overes was a great case. Overes adas, v'ratza bal l'kaima. Let's listen to this. What if you have a woman who's Overes adas, right? She, again, go back to our previous, let's assume we're talking about even, right, das Yehudis, right? She is in breach, in clear breach of modesty standards, and in consistent breach of modesty standards. So I would say, in general, the halacha is, in such a situation, husband is obligated to divorce his wife, and halacha means she loses her ksuba. Let's say the husband doesn't want to divorce her. Right? The right, Raza Balakaima, Makaima, and Makaima. Ultimately, again, does he have the ability to stay married to a woman like this? But isn't it fascinating, Shaila? I will say, by the way, you could come up with a million and one different reasons for this. She's a great mother, right? Amira will say, by the way, there's also a similar idea, is she's a person who's struggling with Yiddishkeit and just, you know, in a variety of different things. Just, this Judaism is just not her thing. But again, maybe there are many other things in the marriage that ultimately, again, are whatever the mitzias is. He doesn't want to divorce her. So does he have the ability? So now a woman is Overes al das. Now, does he have the ability to maintain this marriage or not? Do we say in general, this whole thing is dependent on the hakpada on the, of the husband? Or is it supposed to say that the husband is makpid that his wife behave a certain way or not behave in a certain way? And Lamaisa again, if he's okay with it, he's okay with it. Oh, the other possibility is no. Kevan to kapit. I will say the other possibility is that no. At the end of the day, there's a certain like objective kapeda that exists. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Oh, Dilma kevan to kapit kilomar kevan the archi de bal mikved bahachi al korche da hay nami havi kapeda lagabe. So I will say essentially what the Gemara is asking is. Is this a subjective kapeda or an objective kapeda? So do we say, again, I'll say, there's a norm, right? There's a standard that has to exist within a marriage, that has to exist within a Jewish home. And if a woman is in violation of that standard, this is not a marriage. Whether her husband is okay with it or not is irrelevant. Or do we say, no, that halacha l'maisa, it's dependent on the kapeda of the husband. And if the husband's not makbid, it must be such a profound shayla. So tashma, ve'ilu she'beizim mekarna lohen, but say these are the people that Beis Din administers a warning for, mishin ischarish bayla onishtata o'shayuch habosh ve'isasurin. So remember again, the Mishnah spoke about these ideas, these cases, of situations where Beis Din could administer a warning. What were the cases? Husband is a shota, husband is a chirish, or husband is incarcerated. The amrit ratsa bal lekayma mekaymin of the Beis Din midi di dilma lo nechale labal. The Rabbi will say, if you see that a husband has a right to maintain a wife who acts immorally, so how could Beis Din administer a warning for something that the husband himself may actually be okay with? The Rabbi will say, remember again, let's play this out. What's happening over here? Reuven, let's use the case of incarcerated, right? Reuven's incarcerated. Reuven's wife, Rachel, is acting in what appears to be an immoral fashion. So what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says that Beis Din has the right to go ahead and administer a warning on Reuven's behalf to Rachel. But one second. If all of this is subjective, why should Beis Din have a right to do something that maybe Reuven would say, it's fine. In other words, we'll say, the fact that Beis Din has a right to do something on behalf of the husband indicates that what? That clearly there's an objective standard that must be in play. To which the Gemara says, Avdi based in midi didomalo nechale labal. To which the Gemara says, none of those. Stam of the milsa, kevim da averes adas, haminach nechale. I will say, there's an assumption. There's an assumption. And what's the assumption? The assumption is that halacha lemaisa, most husbands would not be okay with this kind of behavior. As well say, see, right, could there be a husband who says, I don't care? Yeah, then there are husbands like that, which is a strange dynamic and phenomenon. But lemaisa, based and operates based on the norm. Let's say, just like everything else in halacha, you always have outliers. But we assume that Stam husband doesn't want his wife behaving in what appears to be in a moral fashion and based and acts on the norm. So we'll say, I'll just point out, halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin in this case? Because well, it's actually quite a fascinating shaila to contemplate. So I'll actually mention to you, let me see if I have it pulled up over here. I don't think I have it pulled up. Sorry. So Rose, so this is actually the Shulchan Aruch brings down in Simon Kuf Tes Vav. Siv Dalid. So just Evana Ezer, Kuf Tes Vav, Sif Dalid. So just to give you the context, the Shulchan Aruch over here is discussing the halachos concerning a woman who is in violation of Das Yehudis, which is our entire conversation over here. Right? Which essentially is a woman who publicly goes against modesty norms. So again, without delving into all the intricacies, the bottom line is, whatever that exactly means, but the bottom line is, it's grounds for divorce, and forfeiture of her ksuba. So we'll say, now listen to this. So the Shulchan Aruch says, I'm just going to quote to you. So the Shulchan Aruch says, listen to this. Get ready for this line. Vim ratzel kaimosa. Ratzel kaimosa. Achakach. I'll say, let's say at the end of the day, it's true. She's in violation of Das Yehudis, right? She's not babying the way that she should. And it's clear that this is grounds for dissolution of the marriage, ultimately, again, and forfeiture of the ksuva. But Reuven says, I love her anyway. They say love is blind, which is the most ridiculous statement. But okay, right? Okay, fine. They say love is blind, right? He says, I want to stay with her regardless. What's the halacha? Listen to this. Ein kofin osa lahotzia. We don't force him. We do not force him to divorce her. Mikomakom mitzvah alav shiyotziena. But if he asks, what should I do? The right thing is, this is not a marriage. Right? Just to be clear, I'll say, by the way, it's not a marriage either way, right? It's not a marriage when the man is acting immorally. It's not a marriage when the woman is acting immorally. But lemaisa, if he says, I want to stay married, right? Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's close to April 15th. He needs the deduction, right? Lemaisa, whatever it is, right? I want to stay married. We do not force him to get divorced. I'll say, I will just tell you, this is in general part of a halachic motif that at a certain point, halacha makes a decision not to get involved in people's marriages. I'll give you another example. That's what we'll say. The halacha is, we saw this in Gemara Maseches Ksuvos as well, that a man is not really supposed to marry a much older woman with whom he cannot have children. We're talking about a man who has not had children. So let's say a man has not fulfilled Pirei Berivya. And again, he falls in love with a much older woman who's not going to have children. So I will say, it's in Mufreshik Mar Maseches Ksuvos that he should not marry her. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, he should not marry her. But if he chooses to marry her, he marries her. In other words, it's interesting how halacha kind of at a certain point, obviously I will say, I want to point out, obviously if there's like adultery or things like that, then the halacha of course gets involved. But in these kind of interesting cases where again you have like a little bit of a gray area, the halacha tells you what to do, but then ultimately leaves it to people to manage the private affairs of their personal marriages. So here's a perfect example. We're supposed to say, so that's why Paskin in the Gemara, that's like this Gemara. So again, a woman knows a veres al das Yehudis. Should the man divorce her? Yeah. Does she lose her ksuvah? Yeah. But if he says, I want to stay with her anyway, halacha lemaisa again, in kofano, so we do not force him to go ahead and get divorced. Incredible. Good. So let's go weiter. What do you mean?
No, in other words, if there is a problem and that you have fear of it, just say talk to the couple.
Halacha doesn't mandate therapy. I mean, probably it's a good idea, definitely a good idea. Good idea. But the maisa, like, halacha is either be married or get divorced. Right? Halacha is not going to get into, you know, here are the stages to fix you. I know it's a legal system. You know, it's in a legal system, mutter aser. right? Kasher treif, tamei tar. So be married, get divorced. Halacha says in this case, overas aldas yudis, get divorced. You choose not to, fine. Yeah, I think if you stay married, probably get a little bit of help to rehabilitate this relationship. Enoch inami. Good. Rabbi says kavaito. Ibaylo overas aldas v'rot sabal lekaima kaima. Fine. So we'll say we did that. Good. Ibaylo bal shemacha al kinuyev kinuyev machol in machbo say. These are just great cases. Listen to this. Let's say Reuben is married to Rachel. Reuben's married to Rachel. And then what happens? Right, right. He warns Rachel not to be alone with Shimon. And we'll say, now what happens afterwards? Now, after the fact, he wants to be mochel on his warning. Was he mochel on his warning? Then we'll say, now why does he want to be mochel on his warning? So we'll say, so there could be a variety of reasons for it. First of all, remember again, once you make that warning, if she's alone with Shimon, right? If she's alone with Shimon, Rabbi said that activates a whole process that you cannot dial back. So Lemaisa, again, Reuven could just have charata over going ahead and issuing the warning, right? Or Rabbi, you have to imagine the following. Rabbi, also, we don't touch on this in this game. Rabbi, to me, one of the most intriguing dynamics of Sota is how exactly the marital dynamic is in the home after this process is initiated. Like, in other words, obviously you're talking about a husband who doesn't trust his wife, right? To the point, by the way, that he's warning her in front of witnesses not to be alone with Shimon. Now, Bosa, you could imagine that a husband could do that in a moment of jealousy or in a moment of, you know, but again, it would be, Gemara's not talking about that. And obviously, again, marital dynamics are also different in times of the Gemara than they are today, but it must be fascinating to see just what the home looks like and what the marriage looks like after a warning like that. As in the Rebbe say, you know, in every marriage, you know, there are things that sometimes a husband says to his wife that, of course, instantaneously he regrets, right? And he wishes more than anything he could take it back. And what you learn in marriage is what? Is what? You can't take it back. So you can apologize, right, and you can work on writing the ship. But Lamai said those words are always been saying. Sometimes in a marriage, there are words that are never forgotten, and there are words that never go away. You could rehabilitate the relationship, but it's like this. It's this thing that's always there. You know, we learn this in relationships. Things can be forgiven, but they are never forgotten. Right, and that's why in general in marriage, a husband always has to be so careful what he says and how he says it. Because you can say the wrong thing and be forgiven. But again, when words sting and words hurt, so it's interesting. You can have a situation of a husband who made this kinui and they say, no, I don't want this. I don't want this. The shaila is, can you walk it back? Right? Is there ultimately, again, can you have mechila? Can you be mochal on a kinui or not? On one hand, we can say, listen, the kinui is done by the husband. So the husband could choose to walk it back. The husband made it, and therefore there's a kinui mochel on it. Odilma kevan dekani lemi kara lamasi machel it. Maybe not. Maybe look, once you make that kinui, I as well say, it's an interesting idea. It's true. It's up to the husband to make the warning, to make the kinui. But once you do it, there's a process that takes over. Right? And that process, you really no longer have control. I will say, it's such a fascinating shaiva. So do we say that since it's the husband who administered the warning, it's the husband who can be mochel and walk it back? Or do we say, no, it's the husband who makes the warning, but once you make it, you have triggered a process that you no longer maintain control over? To which the Gemara says, let's analyze. So Tashma, they lose the Beis Din, the Kana Lohen. These are the ones who, right? These are the women these are the situations where Beis Din administers a kinui on behalf of the husband. They'll say, what are the cases? Mishin is charish by the owner, shnishtato sheikha sheikhs. They'll say, same case. Husband goes insane, husband becomes a deaf mute, or husband is incarcerated. So what's the halacha? Now again, vi'i amrit bal shamachal al kinui of kinui machal. If you say that when a husband warns his wife, if he wants to forgive, he can forgive and walk back to the kinui. Avdinan midi da'as, so avdinan midi da'asi bal mochile. It was said, would Beis Din do something that the husband could then subsequently say, no, I'm mochalon? So we'll say, so it seems to be from here, the fact that Beis Din does it indicates to us that what? Once a kinui is done, it can't be walked back. To which the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, stama de milsa, adam maskim al das Beis Din. Then we'll say, once again, same answer as we saw before, Bezin operates based on the norm. And I both say the norm is that a husband would be in agreement with whatever Beis Din does. And if Beis Din saw fit to administer a kinyan over here, husband would agree as well. So still we haven't answered our question. So Tashma, we'll talk about this more. We'll talk about what we made reference to this already, but we'll talk about this process more. Beis Din, remember again, I will say, after, just to frame where we are, Reuven warned Rachel in front of two witnesses. She violated the warning in front of, right? She violated the warning. Now, you're going up to the base HaMikdash for her to drink the Sota waters. What happens? The local Beis Din gives them two Tamidi Chachamim to accompany them on the journey to Yerushalayim. Now, why? Why? Most of the Shaytan, Shema Yavala Badach. I will say, now, the restated reason was because in the event that the husband wants to have relations with his wife, the two Tamei Dechem will tell him, don't do it, because if you do it, it totally undermines the Sota process. The Amrit Baal Shemachal Al Kinuyev Machal Lachle Likinuyev Uvlilol. I will say, but again, if a kinui could really be forgiven, and the husband wants to have relations with his wife, so fine. So just go ahead and have him forgive the kinui, and ultimately, again, then he can have relations with her. So we'll say, why didn't Tamidi Chacham there? Because Tamidi Chacham are well versed, and they could say, "Di bar lemival amrile achle likinuye likinuyach ubala." So we'll say again, maybe the role of Tamidi Chachamim are there to tell him, "Listen, if you want to have relations with your wife, that's fine, but first be mochel on your kinuy." So it sounds like, and that's the role of Tamidi Chachamim to tell him that be mochel on your kinuy before you're with her. To which the Gemara says, Tashma, Dam Rabbi Yoshia, Shlosha Dvarim was incredible. It's an incredible Gemara. So we'll say, so again, the question is still there. Husband administers a kinui, does he have the ability to go ahead and walk it back or not? But we'll say, get ready for this. Tashma, Dam Rabbi Yoshia, Shlosha Dvarim Sach Li Zira Me Anshe Yerushalayim. So what Rabbi Yoshia said, there are three things that Zira told me over in the name of the men of Yerushalayim. What did he tell me over? Number one, Baal Shemachal al Kinuyav, Kinuyav Machal. Interesting. That if a husband forgives the Kinuy is in fact forgiven. That's number one. Zaki Mamre, Sheratsu based in Limchal al Mochalo. Now, who says Zaki Mamre? Zaki Mamre is a Talmud Chacham, ultimately, again, who refuses to yield to the rulings of the Beis Din. Now, we'll say, what's the punishment for the Zaki Mamre? Execution. Execution. So ultimately, again, a Zakin Mamre, that if Beis Din want to forgive him, let's say the Zakin Mamre did tshuva. Ultimately, again, they want to forgive him, they could forgive him. Uben Sorer Umora, Sherazu Aved V'imo Limchalo Mochinalo. Wow. I was saying the Ben Sorer Umora, which was, remember, means like a confirmed Ben Sorer Umora, whose parents want to forgive him, they could forgive him. They can forgive. We'll say, isn't that incredible? So three cases of forgiveness. Right? Ziri said he heard from the men of Yerushalayim. If a man wants to forgive the kinui, he can forgive it. Beis Din wants to forgive the death sentence of a Zakin Mamre, a rebellious sage, they can do so. Parents want to forgive the Ben Sora Amora, they have the ability to do so as well. Incredible. So let's listen to this. Ukishabasi, Eitzachaveir Shabidarum. When I came to my friends, my rabbinic colleagues in the south, they told me, Ashnaim Holduli, they agreed to me on two cases, two out of the three, the Azakin Mamre Lo Holduli. So Rabbi Yossi, listen to this. They agreed to me about Kinui, they agreed to me about Ben Sora Rumora, but they did not agree to me about Zakin Mamre. Why? I will say, get ready for this. Shelo Yerbu Machlokes B'Yisrael. I will say, listen to this. So Rabbi Yoshia says, when I came to my colleagues in the south, they said, okay, a husband administered kinui, and then wants to be mocha, wants to, quote unquote, forgive the kinui, he has the ability to do that. Parents bring their child to Beis Din because he's Ben Sora Mora, and they declare Ben Sora Mora, now he's about to be executed. They want to forgive him, they can do that. Zakin Mamre, Rebbe say, what's the chap of the Zakin Mamre? Zakin Mamre refuses to yield to the halachic rulings of the collective. So Ziri said, that one can't be forgiven. Why not? Because Rebbe say, Sota is an issue between a husband and wife. Ben Sora Remora, an issue between parents and children. Right? So we'll say, so those situations can be forgiven. Zokin Mamre is an issue of machlokes within Klal Yisrael. And there is no room and there is no place for machlokes within Klal Yisrael. Someone wants to create a fissure, someone wants to create a rupture within the uniformity, at least of Torah of Klal Yisrael, that's an existential danger to the people, and that there could be no vestige of that. So once you're a Zakin Mamre, there's no walking that back. Don't say, so if you think about it, it's a really profound idea. Let's say, if you think about this, what Gemara is saying is like this. When there is a fallout in a marriage, right? That's what Kinui represents. When there's a fallout in a marriage, could that be repaired? Can that be repaired? So I'll say, I don't know, that's Kramkin. We'll confirm or deny this. I'm of the feeling that when there is a breakdown in a marriage, if you have a husband and a wife who are committed to fixing something, there is almost nothing you cannot fix. True statement? Right? Almost, in other words, two people, absolute commitment, that's the chab. The husband wants to be mocha on the kinui. Husband and wife want to work on fixing this relationship. If they are both committed to fixing it, they can fix it. Ben Sora Remora, there's a fallout between parents and children. If there's a commitment on parents to understand their child and a commitment to a child to try to be sensitive to the parents, there's almost nothing you cannot fix. When it comes to Klal Yisrael, to the nation, the shalom of the nation, I will say, the shalom of the nation is above anything and everything else. Nothing comes above, ultimately, again, the shalom of Klal Yisrael. That is sacrosanct. That can I will say, and if you think about this, it's so saying, you know, when you look at what's happening within Klal Yisrael now, within Eretz Yisrael now, I would say it's painful, right? It's painful when you read in the news about, you know, the remembrance is being planned for Yom HaZikaron. And again, politicians don't come here, don't come this, right? And and even by the way, even in the way, like even when you look at what's happening in the IDF, like it's a, I don't know, the army was generally above anything else. And the notion of soldiers refusing to serve, or because it's scary. It's a rupture. There is a certain rupture in the fabric of the cohesion of Am Yisrael. It's Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, which is, it's startling. Again, could it be repaired? Everything could be repaired. But it's an overall, so I just want to point out, like, do not take it lightly. We've never, has there been machlokes in Am Yisrael all the time, but like, the truth is, we're seeing something here that's something very scary. It's something very scary, and something at least that I feel like I've never seen on such a dramatic level. And it obviously, it behooves us to redouble our efforts in Avas Yisrael, and our efforts in Achdus Yisrael, in any way that we can. Because Rosi, you see, you could forgive the Ben Sora Mora, you could forgive the Sota, you cannot forgive the Zakeh Mamre. Because if you do something to undermine the cohesion and the Achdus of Am Yisrael, you're out. You're out. If you're not a team player, if you're not on Team Klal Yisrael, there's no place for you. In Team Klal Yisrael, there are a lot of opinions. Of course. A lot of different camps, of course. But remember, who's the Zakin Mamre? The Zakin Mamre is the person who refuses to be part of the system, right? The Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, is saying, this is the halacha. The Sanhedrin, right? The Sanhedrin. And the Zakin says, no, I'm as big of a Talmud Chacham as all of you guys. All right, so I'm not... Okay, sorry. There's no review. Also, I'll tell you, I saw something amazing. The Sefer Bar Moshe, he brings down that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Anav Mikol Adam. Like Moshe Rabbeinu was always right, the most humble man. So Bar Moshe asks, he says that in the Machlokes of Korach, why didn't Moshe just give in? Right? Just give in. Right? Just, you're Mevater. Say, Korach, you know what? You want to be the leader here. Right, here's the mantle, right? Here's the staff. Here it is. Or is Moshe, you're so humble. Give in. Rabbi Moshe says, because Moshe saw that what Korach was doing was eroding the fabric of unity of Klal Yisrael. And when it comes to the unity of Klal Yisrael, there is no place for humility. Isn't that incredible? See, even Moshe Rabbeinu, who was Va'ish Moshe Anav Mikal Adam. There's no one more humble than Moshe. When Moshe Rabbeinu sees a threat to the unity of Klal Yisrael, he will stand up for what's right, wield the power that is rightfully his, and put whoever needs to be put in their place, in their place. It's incredible. There's room to be mevater, and there's room to yield, and there's room to compromise. But on the cohesion and unity of the Am, I will say that's the only reason why we're here to this very day. When it comes to the creation of Klal Yisrael, and I will say you have to think about this carefully, because a lot of times, like, we get involved in things that are that erode the unity of Klal Yisrael. Be careful what you allow yourself to get drawn into. Be careful what you argue about. Be careful what things you choose to take a stand on. Because there's a lot of room for a lot of different opinions, but nothing that erodes the cohesion of Klal Yisrael. This is so incredible, so incredible. So again, you commend your marriage no matter what, if you're both willing. You commend your relationship with your children no matter what, if you're both willing. But the one thing that can't be mended once it's broken is the cohesion of the Klal. That's why we have to be so careful to never chas v'shalom break it, and do whatever we can, even within our own dalaramas, to promote Jewish unity, to promote achdus, to promote togetherness within our ranks. Incredible. Well, so let's go weiter. Let's go weiter. Oh, what's about it? Amud Beis is very short. I don't want you to worry about this. It's very short. Don't worry about it. I got this. Let's go. Actually, oh no. All right, it's late. Well, so let's go weiter. Very, very quickly. Very quickly. Shmamina. What's the bottom line? What's about Shmamina? Shmamina. Baal Shemachal al Kinuyev Kinuyev Machshavah. So that's good. Bottom line, halacha lemaisa. What's the halacha? If a husband is mochal on his warning, is mochal. So what's that? And that is halacha lemaisa. So if after the warning, the husband has second thoughts about this whole thing, he could choose to forgive, so that he mocha on the warning. So pligi baravaka ravina chat amar kodem stira mochal lachzir mochal. So now here's the shayla. When can he be mochal? Right? When could he be mochal? In other words, so remember again, can he only be mochal before stira or even after stira? Good kasha. So I'm going to say, chad amar kodem stira mochal lachar stira ina mochal. First opinion said, before she's secluded, he can be mochal, afterwards he cannot. The chant amar li achar stira nami machal. The other opinion said, even after stira, ultimately again he can be machal. Mistabra kimam da amar eno machal. Well, it would appear to be that the halacha is he can only be mochal prior to stira, prior to seclusion, but not afterwards. Mimai mi dekama hadri rabbanan Rabbi Yosi. What's the following thing? The sanya Rabbi Yosi Omer. A husband, I will say, in general is believed. I will say, this is talking about, again, so Rabbi Yossi holds that when they go up to Yerushalayim, they do not need the two Talmidei Chachamim to accompany them. Right? Because the husband is believed that he's not going to have relations with his wife. Why is he believed? Umani, does she be kares? Nida, which is punishable by kares. So a husband is allowed to live with his wife when she's a nida, and we're not nervous that he's going to have relations with her. Sota she b'lav l'kol shekin. Sota, ultimately, again, certainly should be believed. Amar Rabbi Yosi, this bet Rabbi Yosi, imamir b'nida shekin yesh la heter. Here's the difference, we'll say. A nida, ultimately, again, she becomes permitted after 12 days. Right? She goes to the mikvah. She becomes permitted. Tomar besota she'in lo heter. Ultimately, again, besota does not become permitted. Or as we'll say, she may become permitted after she drinks the water, but for now, as far as they're concerned, she's prohibited. And then we're saying, v'i amrit la'achar stira malchola mishkachos l'di'esh lo heter. Di boi mochel eli kinuyeh boil. But if it's true that you could be mochel even after stira, then the truth is, Sota is also permitted. How is she permitted? He could be moch on the entire process. What do you see from here? Ela shmamina la'achar stira eima macho shmamina. So I'm going to say, what do you see from here? You see from here that Allah lemaisa, the only time ultimately again that he could be mochal on the kinui is ultimately again before the stira. But once the stira occurs, halacha lemaisa, he can no longer be mochal. And I will say, that indeed is halacha lemaisa. So two pieces of halacha. Number one, if a husband administers a kinui, he has the ability to go ahead and forgive it. That's piece one. But piece two, he can only forgive it up until the time of stira, which makes sense. Once stira happens, I will say, now there's a whole new part of the process that's been triggered that he no longer has control over. So halacha lemaisa, he can be mochal on kinui only up until stira. Incredible. Mesu bali and achlo shasu b'sham. So let's remember again. In this last piece, this is talking about a situation, ultimately, again, where halacha lemaisa, what was the case over here? Mesu ba'alehen. This was, right. So this was, Rabbi Yosi, halacha lemaisa, what happens if You had a situation of Reuven married to Rachel. Right now, what happens? She's a sota. In other words, kinui, stira, they're going up, they're there, they're on the way up, whatever it is. Before they went up, he dies. So now, Rabbah says she's in a state where she's obligated to drink, but her husband's dead. So obviously, again, the only time the sota waters are administered is if you have a living husband. So what happens in this case? Rabbah says, so this was a machlokes, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai says, she gets her ksuva, and obviously she doesn't drink. In other words, both say not drinking is obvious. If there's no, she can't drink. Beis Hillel says either she drinks or ultimately she gets her ksuva. And I both say, what does it mean? Either she drinks or she gets her ksuva. Obviously, she can't drink, right? Why can't she drink? No husband. So which means is she doesn't get her ksuva. So essentially, Beis Shammai says she gets her ksuva. Beis Hillel, she doesn't get her ksuva. To which the Gemara says, this is incredible. But my commitment, Rabbah says, great. What are they arguing about? Beis Shammai savri, shtar ha'omid legabos kegaboy dame. Rabbah says, Beis Shammai holds that in general, when you are owed money, it's as if you're already in possession of that money. Anytime you're owed something, it's as if legally, you are in possession of that item. Right? Rabbah says, it's true in general. In other words, I loan Reuven $1 million, right? Reuven owes me $1 million. Halachically, it's like as if I am in possession of that money. So we'll say, what this means is like this. A woman is owed her ksuba. So legally, it is as if she is in possession of that ksuba. It's hers. I will say, so essentially, Allah Khalamaisa, according to Beis Shammai, when her husband dies, so right, she is in legal possession of the ksuba, which means if the heirs don't want to pay the ksuba, What's the halacha? The obligation is upon them to show that she committed adultery. It'll be a motzi mechavera alav haraya. She is considered to be in possession, so to speak, and therefore, again, the burden of proof is upon the yarsha. Beis Hillel, if you take a look, attach the. Let's just go back to right. Beis Hillel, savri shtar haomi legabos lav ki gaboy dami. Beis Hillel said, no. Then Allah HaMaisa, just because you have a claim or you have a right, so a legal right or a legal entitlement does not give you possession. So Allah says that because it doesn't give you possession, therefore when her husband dies, Beis Hillel is going to say essentially, the burden of proof is upon the woman to prove that what? That she didn't commit adultery. So ultimately again, the burden of proof is upon her to prove ultimately again that she's innocent. Obviously, again, there's not going to be the ability that she's going to prove herself innocent. Look at Rashi just a moment. Beisel sabri laf gavdai v'havile hi tavas misafik didom zanai hilchach inu vadai v'hi safik v'insai wansi v'ida. Essentially, again, I will say, the yershin, the heirs, or the estate, they are the definitive owners of the ksuba. If she wants to extract it, she has to somehow make a claim that she's entitled. So unless somehow she could conclusively prove her innocence, Lamaisa again, she's going to be unable to extract the ksuba. So therefore, I will say, it's fascinating. So therefore, Allah Lamaisa, in this case over here, where husband dies and she did not have the opportunity to drink, Beis Shammai says she gets her ksuba because he views ksuba as already in the possession of the woman, and therefore, again, it's upon the estate to prove that she's not entitled. But Lamaisa Beis Hillel holds that halacha Lamaisa, no, she's not in possession of the ksuva, and therefore either she drinks or gets the ksuva. Because she can't drink, she's not going to get the ksuva. Okay, we'll say, by the way, halacha Lamaisa, the Rambam Paskins, like Beis Hillel. But then she doesn't get ksuva. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. Two more lines, then we stop for today. Amrav Nachman, Amrav, so Mubaras Havero. So I was saying, here we go. Mubaras Havero. This was the case, ultimately, again, of a man who entered into an illegal relationship, right? We'll say, a man is not permitted to marry a woman who is pregnant with someone else's child. Just like a man is not permitted to marry a woman who is nursing someone else's child. Why? The concern is that if she becomes pregnant, ultimately, again, could diminish the milk supply, or chas v'shalom, right, good, fine. So these are illegal marriages. So we're talking about a situation where a man married one of these women, and then she became a sota. Amrav Nachman Amar Ravua. Machlokes, here we go, ba'akara uzikena. The machlokes, ultimately, again, is if he married, ultimately, an older woman, right? Akara, I should say, a sterile woman, or an older woman. I will say, women incapable of having children. Aval islandis, divri ha'kol lo shol sivalon atelis ksuvasa. I will say, that's an islandis. I will say, what's an islandis? An islandis, remember, again, is a woman who never develops as a woman. Ultimately telling us that she just lacks the reproductive organs. Rabbi says, as opposed to an akara or a zakena, Kara Zakina are women who have reproductive organs. Either they're too old, right? The woman's too old, or Lamaisa, again, there's some other medical issue. But Lamaisa, she has the physical reproductive organs. An islandess doesn't have the reproductive organs at all. And an islandess, I will say, everyone agrees, Lo shosiv lo notelis ksubasa. She doesn't drink, nor does she go ahead and get a ksuba. Shneemar, v'niksa v'nizra. Nizra zera. Because I will say, the pasuk says, ultimately by Sota, that if she's innocent, v'niksa v'nizra zera, that ultimately, again, she'll be able to have children. So we'll say, what do you see from here? Sota only includes a woman who is capable of conceiving. But a woman who is totally, like, physiologically incapable of conceiving, she doesn't have the reproductive system, ultimately, again, she is not subject to the Sota process, and therefore an islandess will not be. So we'll say, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up and answer with the sugya tomorrow. Shkoyach. All right, Chavran Zuma, have a great day, everyone. What a start, what a start. Such a schuslan with all of you. Mel, great to see you in person.